Let us start in a word of prayer.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee that we can come to Thy house, to Sunday school, to learn of Thee.
We thank Thee for Thy goodness, Thy loving kindness, preserving our lives and good health and strength.
Lord, we pray for many who are sick, not well, who have been affected by the COVID-19, that Thou will grant them good recovery, and that they are able to do their work again, and to worship Thee, and to serve Thee, and to praise Thee and glorify Thee. Today, we come to learn of a character who is wicked and evil, that we may learn to be wise as serpent and harmless as dove, and that we will apply many lessons in our lives to live righteously before Thee and to flee from sin. We ask that Thou be with us and the Holy Spirit be our teacher. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Welcome to Sunday School, and today we are going to talk about David at a place called Nob.
Right, we have this episode where Saul almost killed Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul, and due to Saul's jealousy and hatred for David, David had to run away from Saul. And you recall in the last lesson that Saul was very jealous of David because he was always victorious, and the people say Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So that made Saul very jealous. And he wanted to kill David, and David had to run away from Saul. The extreme behavior of hatred resulted in Saul wanting to kill Jonathan, his own son. And how did that happen? So David has already ran away, and there was this festival in which Saul and his people would gather for, I think it's called the New Moon Festival. And David was not there. And Jonathan spoke out for David and said, oh, David had to go to Bethlehem and couldn't attend the dinner with King Saul. Saul was very angry with Jonathan. And let me read to you what Saul said in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thy own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Saul scolded Jonathan for siding with David and said, you are shameless. Huh? And for as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. As long as David lives, Jonathan, you will not be the king. Now get David for me, he must surely die. That's what Saul said to Jonathan. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? Why must David die? What has he done? Jonathan responded to the father, and Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined for his father to slay David. Saul, when he heard Jonathan's response to him, he threw a spear at his son to
to kill his own son. And from that day onwards, Jonathan knew that Saul wanted to kill David. So the reason for Saul's hatred for Jonathan was because Jonathan sided with David. And it's quite extreme, right? That jealousy breeds hatred, hatred breeds violence, even against your own son, because Saul perceived his son to be against him. And so, Jonathan must die. And so, whoever is for David must die. So at the meantime, David went to Nob. David ran away from Saul. Saul was intending to kill David. David went to Nob, a place called Nob. Yeah? He inquired of food and weapon from Ahimelech, the priest at Nob. And Ahimelech provided a sword to David. Let me just read to you. Chapter 21, verse 8 to 9. And David said unto Ahimelech, "And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." So David escaped to Nob, away from Saul. And Nob, there was this priest called Ahimelech. And he inquired of the priest, "Do you have a sword?" Because he ran away in a haste without carrying his weapon. So, and the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it to me." So you see the picture here. David taking the sword of Goliath from Ahimelech, which is standing on the left. And do you notice there's another person hiding behind the door opening? His name is Doeg, Edomite. And he overheard and saw this conversation between Ahimelech helping David. Other than the sword, Ahimelech also provided food, provisions to David. Yeah? So at this point, Ahimelech didn't know that David was running away from Saul, or Saul was pursuing to kill David. To Ahimelech's mind, this is David, a brave warrior for Saul, totally loyal, and all the Israelites are all in favor of him. He's very popular. He's a righteous person. And Ahimelech assisted David. So let me show you where is Nob. Okay, this picture is... Let me try. Right, you can see Nob. Below the word Benjamin, you see Gibeon, Gibeah and Nob, just above Jerusalem, right? So you see Nob is just a short distance south of Gibeah. Gibeah is the capital of Saul, not Jerusalem at that time, yeah? David was at Gibeah, where the palace of Saul was, and he ran away from Gibeah down south to Nob. And Saul found out from Doeg, the Edomite, that David was at Nob. And Saul ordered the execution of Ahimelech and family because Ahimelech had helped David. Nobody dared to execute the priest of the Lord except Doeg. So let me read to you this passage of scripture so to give you the idea of what happened. So this happened in Gibeah, capital of Saul, and Saul was with his soldiers, reading from chapter 22, 1 Samuel, verse 6.
When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah, there you are, under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. So Saul was standing with all his servants, basically his commanders, his soldiers. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of 100s? That all of you have conspired against me. There is none that showeth me that my son have made a league with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you that is sorry for me, or show unto me that my son have stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. He was accusing his soldiers, his commanders, of conspiracy against him. How come none of you tell me where David was? Somebody else told me. None of you told me. Why are you all conspiring with David against me? Even my son Jonathan is conspiring against me. He was accusing all his commanders and his soldiers. Yeah? So, very interesting. Yeah? And so he ordered Ahimelech to be brought to him. He said, now, somebody told him where David was, and David was with this priest of Nob, Ahimelech. And Ahimelech came. Yeah? And verse 13, chapter 22, Saul said to him, said to Ahimelech, Why have you conspired against me? You and the son of Jesse is David, yeah? He refused to call David by his name, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me as he does today. So Saul accused Ahimelech, the priest, Why have you conspired against me? And Ahimelech answered the king, Who of all your servants is as loyal as David? So Ahimelech is still clueless. Who among your servants is as loyal as David? Loyal is the most loyal. David is the most loyal. He's the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard, and highly respected in your household. So to Ahimelech, David is up there, no? Very loyal to the king, very popular, did no wrong against the king. Did I then begin to inquire of God for me? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. Would I suspect David of conspiracy against you, King Saul? Far from it. I knew nothing about this conspiracy against you. He was your captain of your bodyguard, loyal to you. Yeah? And he heard nothing of anything with evil of David. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. So Saul said, You conspired against me, you shall surely die. Not just you, your whole family. And of course the soldiers were all around, ready to execute the order. But none of them did execute the order. They were all afraid because they were told to execute priests, God's servant. How could they do it? They couldn't do it. They couldn't strike the priests, who are all God's servants. And the king said to Doeg, "Turn down and fall upon the priest." And Doeg the Edomite turned and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. Doeg killed 85 people who were priests. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he, and with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. Not only did he kill the 85 priests, he massacred the whole city of Nob. Young, old, animals, sheep, asses, oxen, every living thing was killed by the work. He went beyond the call of duty to his king. His king said, "Kill the priest." He not only killed the priest, he killed the whole city. Everyone lay dead, including animals. So, very wicked person here. Very evil. Yeah? And I want you to watch a video because it will give you a better sense of the events that happened. It starts with Saul accusing his soldiers, "You are all not loyal to me. You are my soldiers. You are supposed to be loyal and protect me, but you are not loyal to me. You did not tell me where David was, and you are all conspiring with David against me." Only one person is loyal, that is Doeg. He told me where David was. And then he summoned Ahimelech. And then you watch how the soldiers did not want to kill the priest, and how Doeg. What was his motive behind? Why did he betray David and Ahimelech when all the other Israelites did not want to do any harm to David and Ahimelech? So watch out for Doeg. He was the only one who spoke out against Ahimelech. And he was the only one who was willing to kill all the priests and the whole city.
Abishai!
David! He's become a liar, a thief, an outlaw. Does anyone else want to follow Joab and the others into David's camp of brigands? Not one of you warned me of the plots going on behind my back. Not even in my own household. My own family.
My lord, the priests of Nob are here.
You have sent for me and my whole household, my lord king. We have obeyed.
Doeg, tell him what you have already told me. What did you see?
I was in Nob, the city of the priests, when David, the son of Jesse, came to Ahimelech, And Ahimelech consulted the Lord for him and provided him with the food for his trip and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine.
Doeg, a stranger of the tribe of Edom, more loyal than my own son. Why have you plotted against me with the son of Jesse? You fed him, armed him, helped him to rebel.
And how was I to know? Isn't David the most loyal of your servants? Honored in your own house, captain of your army? Since when has it been a crime to help him? I have consulted the Lord for him 100 times.
Lies won't help you.
Don't accuse me and my household of a crime we didn't commit.
But you were seen.
I have nothing to hide. David came in your name. He asked for bread.
Listen to me, Ahimelech. I know whose orders you carried out to help David. Samuel. He's always protected you. The same old story. The same old lies. Taking refuge behind the Lord. I've had enough. Because you betrayed your king, you and your household will now die. Anna. Saul! You can't do this!
Anna!
Archers! Father!
What are you waiting for? Put them to death!
They won't obey you, Saul.
Put them to death! Doeg, you haven't such reverence for these traitors. You put them to death.
Yes, there was a short clip of what happened between Ahimelech, the priest of Nob, and Saul. And it was only Doeg who was willing to kill Ahimelech and all the priests, including the whole city. There's a psalm written on this by David in Psalm 52, and I'll come to that later. So recap, why did Saul want to kill Ahimelech and his family? Answer, Saul was jealous of David and wanted to kill him. Since Ahimelech helped David, Saul wanted Ahimelech and his family dead. Why did Doeg betray David to Saul? By betraying David to Saul, Doeg expected to get favors from Saul. Psalm 52:7. Referred to Doeg as a man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted instead in his wealth. He grew strong by destroying others. Let me read to you part of Psalm 52, verse 7. Okay, this psalm was written by Doeg in reference to, written by David in reference to Doeg. Yeah? And in verse 7, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness." Yeah. Let me read also the NIV version. "Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others." Yes, he was referred as a person with great wealth, and he grew strong by destroying others. So, Doeg, when he saw all the soldiers who did not side with Saul, did not tell Saul about David and Ahimelech, he came forth and said, "I saw David with Ahimelech. Ahimelech helped David with the sword and with food." This shows that he's loyal to Saul. You see, all the soldiers are not loyal. I am loyal. Saul, you can trust me. I tell you where your enemies are. Ahimelech, David are your enemies. And all your soldiers are traitors, conspiring against you on the side of David. Yeah, so, that's the work. He destroys others for his own benefit. Yeah? So, what spiritual lessons do we get from this? We are perceived as either for A or for B. Yeah? So, Saul perceived David, Jonathan, and Ahimelech as against him. So, I drew this diagram. Your person A is in conflict with person B. And here you are, this I. I am for A or I am for B. And today, this kind of division is still very true. You are perceived as whether you are for A or for B. And if I may go run through how Saul perceived David, Jonathan, and Ahimelech. Yeah? You see here in the middle column, perceived by Saul. Saul perceives David as against Saul. Yeah? But what are the facts? The facts is that Saul was jealous of David. David was not against Saul. Yeah? Saul was jealous of David and what David did. Was David against Saul? Did David want to kill Saul? No. You find out in later lessons that there were a few opportunities that David could have killed Saul and he left it. He did not kill Saul because he felt that Saul was a king, God's anointed. It was not for him to kill Saul. So no. Yeah? David was not against Saul. Jonathan. Saul perceived Jonathan as against him. Saul was angry with Jonathan for siding with David. Jonathan was not against Saul. He did not agree with Saul to put David to death, as David had done no wrong. And for that, Saul threw a javelin at Jonathan and accused him of being a traitor. Yeah? How about Ahimelech? Ahimelech was not against Saul either. He wasn't even aware of the conflict between Saul and David. You know when you watched the clip just now when Saul accused him, you gave David food and the sword of Goliath and you are in conspiracy with David against me. And then Ahimelech replied, "Look, David is a captain of your bodyguard. He's highly regarded and he's your son-in-law. so well respected and regarded, how am I to know that there was a conspiracy against you? I helped David as anybody would help David. So there you go. But they were all perceived by Saul as against him. Yeah. So this is the world that we live in today. Yeah, when two parties are in conflict, they will read you. Are you for me or are you for the other, for my enemy? And you have to take sides or perceive to take sides. It's the same with global geopolitics. Are you for this country or are you for that country? We are a small city-state. And you're perceived, you have this connection with country A and you have none with country B, so you are for country A. Perception. So in the world, we are perceived as for me or against me. People react according to their perceptions and interests. Christ exhorts us to love one another. We should show care and respect to others without the for me or against me attitude. So, love one another as you love yourself. The greatest teaching came from the Good Samaritan. Samaritan and the Jews, they don't have love for each other. But in the story of the Good Samaritan, it was the Good Samaritan that showed love to the Israelite. And Jesus, by that story, is trying to tell us that there should not be this division between people. You are a Samaritan, you're a Jew, and they have nothing to do with each other. They have this, the Jews don't like the Samaritans. They are perceived as lower class. Yeah? And Christ exhorts, through the story of the Good Samaritan, love one another. So in the same way, as Christians, we do not take sides when there is a conflict. We remember the story of the Good Samaritan. Love one another. Maybe difficult to love one another, how to love your enemy. But that is precisely what Christ taught us. Love your enemy. Do not speak ill against them. Do not do things against them. Do not take revenge against your enemy. That is what has been taught to us. So let's now look at Doeg character. Be careful of the Doeg character. You read Psalm 52. It's about Doeg. Cunning and deceitful person, out to destroy others for personal gain. He betrayed both David and Ahimelech. Doeg implicated that both David and Ahimelech in his betrayal. Doeg wanted to be seen as aiding Saul. He wanted Ahimelech to get into trouble for aiding David. So, naturally, when he told Saul that Ahimelech was helping David, he meant to get at Ahimelech. Yeah? Saul, look at Ahimelech. He's helping your enemy, David. Yeah. That's what Ahimelech wanted to do. And then Doeg struck down the priest. Yeah? Why did Doeg kill the priest? He showed that he was loyal to Saul while the soldiers were not. You saw the video? Saul said, kill. Soldiers lowered their bows and arrows, refused to kill the priest. Only Doeg was willing to kill all the priests. Yeah? Again, he wanted to show he was loyal, not the soldiers. Because of his loyalty, he is going to get good rewards from Saul. So such is the character of Doeg. Yeah? And not only did he kill the 84 priests, Doeg killed all the men, women, children, infants, cattle, donkeys, and sheep in the town. You read verse 19 of chapter 22. He went beyond the call of duty. The king said, kill these priests. He went to kill the whole city, yeah? Including the animals. Wanted to show his full support, enthusiasm in his loyalty to Saul. And there was no remorse, no sadness, killing so many innocent people. What has the rest of the city got to do with Ahimelech and the priest? Nothing. They are all innocent people, but they were all killed. So, there are people in our midst who would betray friends or colleagues to get ahead. Character assassinate, inform the boss of your mistakes. People who take advantage of situations to get ahead in life. Just as Doeg. Because he thinks that by doing this, he is on the side of King Saul and he will be richly rewarded. By the way, Doeg was defined as an Edomite. An Edomite is not a Jew from the side of Jacob. Yeah? An Edomite is on the side of Esau. So therein lies the difference. Yeah? So King Saul and all the Israelis were from the family of Jacob. Right? And then an Edomite, Doeg, is from the family of Esau. So at the ancestor level, Esau and Jacob were brothers, but they went separate ways. Right? And so you see, King Saul referred to Doeg, who is an outsider, who's willing to help him. And you, all my soldiers within the family of Jacob, conspired against me. So that was his point when he referred to Edomite, the Doeg. Who are Doeg in our midst? People who betray your trust, people who gossip about your personal affairs, people who defame you. Yeah? And how should we respond to Doeg's action in our midst? Do not take revenge, speak the truth, and do justly. Yeah? So are we Doeg? Do we do as Doeg do? Do we gossip? Do we character assassinate others? Do we speak ill of others? If we are Doeg, we should seek forgiveness and repent. Cease from speaking ill of others and stop gossiping. So if you reflect, Doeg is a malicious person. He will speak out against you so that he can get ahead. Right? That's Doeg's character. But of course, we should not do that as Christians, yeah? And the people of the world may do that. They want to get ahead, and you have colleagues. And the way to get ahead is to defame your colleagues, how bad they are to the boss, so that when it comes to promotion, you get promoted, and the rest, your colleagues are not promoted. That's a Doeg in the corporate world. Yeah? And even then, there may be Doegs in any, your friends and your acquaintances. They will say so-and-so did this, not very nice things behind your back. To show that you should not be thought as a good person.
And tendency is that we tend to do that sometimes. We will say so-and-so is no good because he did this, he is proud, he's selfish, he did this bad thing and that bad thing. What happens when we do that sort of thing? Sometimes we do this not because we want to get ahead of others. We do this because it's juicy news. Yeah, not really malicious. We just want to have something to talk about, and we talk about other people's fault. We tend to do that. I tend to do that sometimes. In one occasion, when I spoke that, what I said of a person went to that person. It's a small world we live in. You speak to somebody, and that somebody knows, will speak to somebody else, and that somebody else goes back to the person you spoke about. And that person's comes back to you and say, why did you speak that of me? Happens to me. I'm sure it happens to some of you too. And it's not a very good feeling that I have been indiscreet and I spoke freely about other people. Indiscreetly, tactlessly. So we try, we refrain from doing that. Yeah? That's not a good thing. And as I said, when you hear a person who speaks about the faults of other people, and he does it more than once, the fear is that if I tell him my fault, would he also tell other people about me? Since he's so free about telling me about other people, would he tell other people about me? So, as Christians, we don't want to have that kind of characterization for ourselves. Thought of being a gossiper, a talebearer, even without malice. So we have to be careful with what we say about other people. Yes. So now I would like you to contemplate, how would you identify a doer in your midst? How would you identify a doer in your midst? How should a Christian respond to doer? In bracket, wise as serpent and harmless as doves, Matthew 10:16. How would you identify a doer in your midst? Perhaps you can contemplate by yourself, or you can discuss among yourself. I'll give you some time to think about it. So, yes, question A, how would you identify a doer in your midst? Someone who speaks, who is in the habit of speaking ill of others, habitually. How should a Christian respond to doer? How do you act wise as serpents and harmless as doves? So if it's a doer, he's information is going to be moved from one person to another, and he is the channel, the transmission of that information. So one has to be careful what you say in the presence of the work. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Things which are information which is of a discrete nature, do not divulge.
Do not speak ill of other people, because it will be transmitted very easily, very quickly, through Doa. And it will come back to you and say, oh, you are the one who said it. So, and that's very an uncomfortable feeling. So, do understand also that sometimes the Doa character is part of a personality of a person. He can't help it. You know, he goes out. And he's not that discreet. He's not so tactful. He likes to talk a lot. And whatever you tell him probably just comes out. He doesn't see the need to be discreet or tactful. Because that's his character. So we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In the presence of a Doa character, we shall be discreet as well. Right? So we have to identify people who tend to talk freely without guard. We have to be discreet ourselves. Let us close in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for the lesson here on perception of one who is for me or against me, and also lesson to guard ourselves against the work. Person who speak freely and without guard. We pray, Lord, for Thy protection always from people around us. We pray for Thy forgiveness for our own sin when we have been spoken out against the works who spoke against us, and we have been hurt many a times, that we will forgive such people. Let us not be revengeful, to do an eye for an eye, for this is not the way of Christ. So, Lord, help us, Lord, to be forgiving, to love one another, and that we can move on in our life peacefully and having good relationship with one another. As Thou hast shown us, Lord, that love is the hallmark of our faith. Lord, we pray and ask that Thou will forgive us and grant us Your blessing, that we will do righteously what is a delight to Your eye. And Thou will bless us with many good days and blessing. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming.